everybody. Well, we've come to the end of a year that nobody expected. Here's how one guy pictured the year. First, we have this picture of a knight in armor, only a small slot across his eyes, kind of like the Mandalorian helmet. And then here's how the year actually took place, and there's an arrow going through that small slot. It has thrown us for a loop. It has been a challenge to all of us. This has been a year that parents of school-age kids are more stressed than ever, trying to help their kids succeed in online school when they're antsy and depressed and sometimes withdrawn. It's a year that people have lost businesses, they've canceled plans, things haven't worked out the way that they had expected. One counselor said this: no matter your place, the pandemic is taking a toll in mind, body, and spirit. The pandemic is taking our breath away, literally and physically. Well, I got COVID-19. I'm on my first day out of quarantine today as I'm recording this. I was down and out for about a week, but am doing much better and on the upward climb right now. This has been a year that continues to be a challenge whether you've had the virus or not. And it seems appropriate as we end one year and begin another to ask the question, what is my life about? And what is our church about? We were made for purpose. It's easy for us just to live day to day, and the biggest question is, what's on TV tonight? In Psalm 90, Moses, writing as he was leading the people across the 40 years of wilderness wandering, reflected on the transience of life. He saw hundreds of people die in his caravan day after day after day after day. But in verse 12 of this psalm, he says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom." We all have a limited number of days upon the earth, and it's good for us to think about, how am I going to invest the days that I have? What is my life about? What can I do with my life? Well, the bad, or at least sobering news, is that every one of us is one day closer to death as each day comes about and transpires. In the hymn, "O God, Our Help in Ages Past," which is based on Psalm 90, the author says in one of the verses, "Time, like an ever-rolling stream, bears all of its sons away. They fly, forgotten as a dream dies at the opening day." Well, pretty depressing stuff there. But Moses ends the psalm, though, in verse 17 with this petition: "May the favor of the Lord our God rest on us. Establish the work of our hands for us." Yes, establish the work of our hands. You know, we are made for something. We are made for more than just getting through the day and getting by. You and I were made for purpose. Author and pastor Rick Warren, in his best-selling book, The Purpose-Driven Life, reminds us that we're here for a purpose. In the book, he challenges us to find God's purposes and order our lives under God's purposes. A few years ago, I read a story about a woman who spends every Saturday going to garage sales looking for classic lunchboxes. And she had collected over 200 of these classic lunchboxes. And I thought, well, I guess that sounds kind of fun, but aren't we made for something more than just collecting lunchboxes? Now, I'm not against having collections. As a kid, I collected coins and stamps and rocks and all kinds of things. But we're made for more than just collecting lunchboxes or golf scores or jewelry or shoes or fishing rods or whatever we like to collect. Moses says, "Teach us to number our days that we may gain a heart of wisdom. Establish the work of our hands." How wonderful to attend a memorial service like we had not long ago for Wayne West. I was moved as each of his grandchildren got up and shared the impact their grandfather had on their spiritual lives. And I thought about a contrast of a funeral we had here a few years ago, where the son of the deceased got up and said, "My father had an impact in my life. When I was in elementary school, he introduced me to heavy metal rock music and he introduced me to inappropriate magazines." I thought, is that the legacy that he left? Is that what we want to leave? So, do you want to let your life have an impact that lasts, an impact that's positive? Well, I've been leading our church's movement in Africa for the last year and a half in the small country of Lesotho. Lesotho is surrounded by the Republic of South Africa. We're partnering with Saddleback Church, who has spearheaded this movement, and now this purpose-driven church, Peace Plan Movement, is active in all 55 countries in Africa. Pretty incredible. I've been having regular meetings with on Zoom and WhatsApp, phone calls and emails with pastors every week during this time, helping them find how to lead their churches in living out the purposes of God and impacting their own community. I think it'd be good for us today, all of us, to review what are the five purposes that Rick Warren identified in the New Testament, and to ask ourselves, how is my life doing? Do I need to make a readjustment? And as I go through these five purposes, I encourage you to just prayerfully ask God as we look at each one, God, how's my life? Do you want me to make some kind of adjustment? How can I make my life more aligned with your purposes? The first purpose is worship. We gather together to worship God as Christ's body. And hasn't this pandemic taught us how much we value gathering together as a church body to worship together? It's going to happen again, but we've all been missing it. And we've all noticed that though our online services are tremendous and we are so blessed to have such talent in our technical team putting these together, but we've all noticed it's not the same just sitting at home and watching online. We need to worship together. But you know, worship is not just what we do together on Sunday morning. Worship is to be a daily experience in our lives. In Romans 12:1, Paul said this, "Therefore I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship." That means how I treat my family, how I treat my neighbors, what I do with my time, my resources. This can all be part of worship. I recently ran across an old Charles Wesley hymn whose words describe living our normal lives in worship to God. Let me read a little bit from you. I've used these words as a morning prayer a number of days in the last couple of weeks. The wording is old-fashioned, but the idea is great. "Forth in thy name, O Lord, I go, my daily labor to pursue. Thee, thee only, resolve to know in all I think and speak and do. The task thy wisdom hath assigned, O let me cheerfully fulfill. In all my works thy presence find, and prove thy good and perfect will. Thee may I set at my right hand, whose eyes my inmost substance see, and labor on at thy command, and offer all my works to thee." Worship should be all of life, not just Sunday. Talking to a friend, washing the dishes, serving the poor, these can all be acts of worship. Purpose number two is discipleship. Jesus told his followers in Matthew 28, "Go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded you." Learning to follow Jesus means learning to obey all that he has commanded. That's what he said. And discipleship means that we have set our lives toward this task, to learning from him and putting it into practice. Now, frankly, I would find it more comfortable to attend 5 or 6 Bible studies a week where we sit around and we talk about things and we theologize, but we never do anything. That's more comfortable than just attending one that's focused on accountability and response and obedience. But that's what discipleship is about, obeying what the Lord has told us. Purpose number three is fellowship. I grew up in a church in which the church culture was based on the idea that religion is something personal and private, and you don't talk about it with other people. And my family lived that out at home. We didn't talk about religion. We didn't pray together. We didn't discuss spiritual things because that was private and personal. How things changed for me when I committed my life to Christ and started to experience Him in a personal way, when I started sharing my own spiritual journey and learnings with friends and encouraging them, finding encouragement from them, supporting one another. And this is what God has called us to do. Galatians 6:2 says, carry each other's burdens, and in this way fulfill the law of Christ. Well, we're kind of restricted now, but whatever you can do to make those connections with others, I urge you to try that right now, even if it's phone calls or Zoom calls. And when we are able to open things up again in the new year, I urge you to think about joining one of our community groups or starting one in your home, because we all need this kind of fellowship. Purpose number four is ministry or service. Jesus said in Acts 20:35, it's more blessed to give than to receive. We're made for service. That's why millions, tens of millions of Americans every year devote hours and hours to volunteer work, whether they're religious or not. They know that we are made for service and that we find fulfillment in this. Not only do we find fulfillment, but the church becomes what it can be as you are involved. Ephesians 4:16 says, from him the whole body, joined and held together in every supporting ligament, grows and builds itself up in love as each part does its work. As each part does its work, we need you. Again, our service opportunities are somewhat limited now, but we can find something. And as we open up again, I encourage you, find your place of belonging, your place of ministry and service, because God wants to use you. The fifth purpose is evangelism or missions. The church is called to reach the whole world with the saving message of Christ. And we can be part of that outreach as we learn to share our faith, as we befriend and love other people, as we invite them to church or church activities. Your life has purpose. No matter what your restrictions right now are because of this pandemic, your life still has purpose, and you can live out these five purposes. You can find a way. Viktor Frankl wrote an influential book called Man's Search for Meaning. Frankl was a European Jew who was imprisoned during the Holocaust. And he looked around and noticed that there were some kinds of people that survived the horrible conditions, and others had just succumbed to them and died as they were waiting to see what happened. And he asked himself, what's the difference between the two groups? And he said, purpose. In his book, he's fond of quoting a saying by philosopher Friedrich Nietzsche, he who has a why to live can bear almost any how. He who has a why to live can bear almost any how. Our social contacts have been restricted. Many of us have been isolated. And yet, there is a way to live for God's purposes. We have opportunities. We may have to have social distance, but we can make phone calls. We can send messages. We can text. We can FaceTime. We can do Zoom calls and meetings. I've got a family Zoom meeting this afternoon after this recording. I'm looking forward to connecting with relatives in Texas and Southern California and Lodi and Berkeley and in Rhode Island. It's going to be great. Church member Cheryl Marquardt died of COVID and other related problems she had a couple of weeks ago. About maybe 6 or 8 weeks ago, Cheryl called and asked if I could pay a visit to her in her home, which I did. And Cheryl recounted some of her story. She grew up with polio. She's been in pain really all her life. She told me her first husband shot her which ended the marriage, as you would expect. The second husband after that seemed really nice because he didn't shoot her, wasn't abusive, but he was an alcoholic. And that marriage spinned out of control and ended in another divorce. About 17 years ago, Cheryl was ready to end her life. She was just so full of despair and problems. She took a handful of pills from her cabinet, put everything in her hand, and she's about to ingest all of them when something made her stop and she let go of the pills. She came to our church the next Sunday and committed her life to Christ and found new direction and purpose. Cheryl became part of the ministry within the church in spite of her life problems, in spite of her continuing issues. She, along with a couple of friends, started a support group for those with chronic illness problems and mental health problems. Well, the last few years, she's continued to go downhill so that Cheryl was unable to walk much. You may remember her in a wheelchair in church if you can remember back that far. She spent the last few years mostly in bed. She lived with Dick and Joyce Furness, who graciously opened their home for her and provided a place for her to live. But in spite of all of these strikes against her, she continued to use what she had and the opportunities before her to serve God and serve others. Susie Degg, in a letter to the joint heirs class about Cheryl's passing, said this: "She was a remarkable woman, determined not to let her troubles get in the way of her steadfast faith. Cheryl had seemingly endless serious health issues, which began early in childhood, including polio, which affected her physically. Cheryl never complained about her condition. Instead, she trusted God to take care of her, and on her final journey, she is forever relieved of all her hurt and pain. You may not know that Cheryl had a very active prayer and encouragement ministry, which she conducted from her phone. She brought hope and optimism to many disheartened souls. I have no doubt that she planted many seeds and helped to lead seekers to Christ because of her faith and testimony." Now, I share this with you because this is an example of somebody who experienced restrictions in life and problems which for most might be overwhelming. And yet she found a way to live for God's purposes. So when we all experience these restrictions during the pandemic, I want to encourage you that we can still find ways to live for God's purposes. In the coming year, we want to help more and more in our congregation find their purposes in life and live for those purposes. So we're going to offer again our series of STEP classes. Step one is about membership, what it means to be part of a church. Step two is about maturity, what it means to grow in your spiritual life and how to do that. Step three is about ministry, how to find your place that God has designed you for in service within the church. And step four is about mission, learning how to share your faith, learning how to be part of God's global plan. And I encourage you to plan on being part of those STEP classes because God wants to do some great things in your life, and we want to help you with that. We're also going to be exploring some ways to pursue the peace plan in our community. The peace plan is a way to mobilize ordinary Christians to do extraordinary things as we follow Christ in our lives. PEACE is an acronym. It stands for five things we are called to do to help attack the biggest giant problems in the world. P stands for planting churches and small groups to combat spiritual emptiness of everybody who's apart from God. E stands for equipping servant leaders. There's so many self-seeking leaders in this world, and we need to have an army of servant leaders serving in small places and in big places. A stands for assisting the poor, helping address poverty, which crushes millions in this world. C stands for caring for the sick, helping with diseases that rack people and eliminate life and purpose and fulfillment. And E stands for educating the next generation to combat illiteracy and limited opportunities. Let me share some ways that I've been working with pastors in Lesotho to implement the peace plan. And then we're going to look at some ways that we might be able to do some of that here in the Lodi community. Now, first, some context. Lesotho is a small country surrounded by the Republic of South Africa. They have limited number of jobs, so for decades, a lot of its citizens have gone to South Africa to work in the gold and diamond mines. A lot of women have gone to South Africa to work as domestics. This has wreaked havoc on family life and led to one of the largest HIV/AIDS infection rates in all of Africa. It's been horrible. There are tons of orphans there left by this disaster, and nearly half of the nation suffers from what is called food insecurity, not having a secure and stable source of food to feed your family. As a result of these things, in dialoguing with our national steering committee there, we decided we needed to address poverty. And as I thought about this and prayed about it, the idea came to my mind, how about victory gardens like there were during World War I and World War II, as we had to send tons and tons of food overseas to the soldiers. And those left back home were left with rations and shortages and had to plant their own gardens to grow some of their own food. So we decided to promote that. My challenge was, how about if you as pastors plant a victory garden on your church property, and then you invite your church members and your neighbors to come see what you've done with a promise of helping them? Well, one pastor went out that week, and here's a picture of a couple of plots, of garden plots he made on his own church property. He got so excited, he kept planting more and more, and there are about a dozen of those now. Then he next reached out to the widows and the elderly in the church neighborhood. He invited them to come see what they'd done in the garden plots and to help organize them into their own committee so that they could help one another build their own garden plots at home. Here's a picture of the elderly, he calls them the aged, who are looking to see what these garden plots look like. I found that Saddleback has a 16-page illustrated step-by-step instructional manual on how to do garden plots in Africa. Perfect for these needs. Well, another pastor got so excited that he planted not just a garden plot, but a field, as you can see in this next photo. And the report I was given is he's so excited because now he's selling vegetables in the market. Keep in mind that most pastors there don't get a salary because the churches don't have enough money for that. And now he's able to support himself and his family. Well, as we continued to think about this, I thought, how about fruit trees? Fruit trees are another ongoing thing. And I appeal to the churches, view your land as a resource, not just as a place to have buildings. And so we came up with a plan to plant fruit trees with the help of Aslan Child Rescue Ministries and a special donation. They've now bought a bunch of fruit trees, which will be planted as soon as it's planting season in a couple of months. Then as we talked more, we came up with the idea of developing chicken farms and providing chickens for people. Here's a picture of a delivery of baby chicks through a special gift from Aslan Child Rescue Ministries. We purchased 1,800 chicks, and now people are raising those. Some are being sold in the market as chickens. Others are being kept to lay eggs and develop ongoing self-sufficiency. Now, through these efforts, we're spreading the mercy of God and the worship of God everywhere. We're empowering these pastors and these churches to take better care of themselves, to take better care of their communities, to show the love of God in a concrete way. And as members of and attenders of First Baptist Church, you are part of all that we do in Lesotho. God has called us to do the same thing in our community. Now, it's not going to be agriculture. We don't have the food insecurity here. Even those with limited income can get a free meal twice a day at the Salvation Army or Grace and Mercy. But our needs are different. I never thought I was going to get into agricultural projects when I started leading this ministry in Lesotho. I don't have a background in agricultural production. I don't even have a garden at home. But God led me and provided the resources and the information. And God is going to lead us. If we depend upon Him, He's going to lead us what to do. Pastor Glenn told me that one of his big goals for 2021 is to find some peace plan projects here in our own community. Now, we've been doing some for years. For more than a dozen years, we've had a foster and adopt program reaching out to the most vulnerable children in our county. As parents adopt some of these needy children or foster others, I am blessed every Sunday as I see Rhonda Reynolds with a new baby she's carrying on her chest and a baby carrier. And we know from the stories we heard of Romania where they left kids in orphanages untouched, the psychological and emotional permanent damage it did. She is changing these kids' lives by providing them with warmth and love and contact. For more than 12 years, we've had a Celebrate Recovery ministry and a lay counseling ministry reaching out to people in need in our community, helping the down and out find Christ and find direction and wisdom and hope. And I believe God's going to lead us in some new ventures in this coming year. We don't know what they are, but we're going to find them. In conjunction with 180, for these past several months, we've had a distance learning center at our church. We've had 10, 20, or more students who come, and with volunteers who are tutoring them, they do their online schoolwork, but they have interaction, they have structure, they have encouragement from the adults who are there, and it's been a great ministry impacting these kids who would not have this kind of support and help at home and have been struggling in school. I wonder if it's time to continue something like that. Pat Patrick, who's one of our elders and the president of the Chamber of Commerce in Lodi, told us a couple of years ago that if children are not up to reading level in the third grade, they're more likely to drop out of high school, to join gangs, to have a teenage pregnancy, to end up in juvenile hall. I read recently a study found that children who were not up to reading level in third grade had a 4 times higher expectancy of dropping out of high school, and that number is about 3 or 4 times higher for Hispanic kids. And guess what? The majority of our school-age children in Lodi now are Hispanic. Some of them come from families that enable them to thrive, but others come from families struggling and unable to help their kids succeed at school. I wonder if now is the time. Now, of course, not right now because we're in the pandemic, but maybe next school year we'll be ready to organize ourselves. We just need a few volunteers. Maybe you're the one to head up something like this. If you do so, I'm going to encourage you, and I think I'll be able to support you and participate. But God is going to lead us as we all offer ourselves to Him. We look around our community and say, God, we want our lives to count. We want our church to count. We want to show Your mercy and Your love to our community. We want to let our good work shine before men that they might glorify God, our Father in heaven. So as we begin a new year in just a few days, let's live our lives on purpose. As Moses said, teach us to have a heart of wisdom in these coming days. Establish the works of our hands. Help us to live for what God has for us. Let's pray. Lord, we thank You for Your presence with us. We thank You that even though we've been afflicted and restricted during these quarantine days, we've been frustrated. Some of us have been directly affected with illness or job loss. And yet, whatever our circumstances, Lord, we know you're there with us. You haven't abandoned us. You'll never leave us or forsake us. And so we pray that you would guide us in this coming year. Help us as we live out your purposes. Help us to discover new ways to make that happen, even during our period of restriction and the weeks and few months ahead before everybody's vaccinated and we get back to a more or less normal life. And lead us as a church to do great and mighty and unprecedented things in our community. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. Thanks, everybody. Happy New Year.